Amen. When the rich young ruler asked the Lord Jesus what he needed to do to inherit eternal life, he said to the Lord, "Good master." The Lord replied back to him saying, "There's none good but God." Now, the reason I believe the Lord said that was because the rich young ruler thought of the Lord just as a mere man, a good teacher, and he was kind of, the Lord was nudging him to make him realize that the Lord Jesus was not just a good man, he was God in the flesh. And he wanted him to know that. And so with that truth in mind, I want to preach a message to you this morning. Might turn me down just a tad, Bobby. I want to preach a message to you this morning. You can't keep a good man down. You can't keep a good man down. So when referring to our Lord, we're saying that you can't keep the God man down. You can't keep the God man down. And that is the title of the message. You can't keep a good man down, but we're thinking of the God man because you can never keep him, you can never keep him down. And so look at Matthew 27. Please turn there. We'll look at 27 and 28 in the Bible. And notice here at this point that the wicked Pharisees, the wicked Sadducees, the scribes had pressured the Roman governor, Pilate, to put our Lord to death on the cross. They couldn't kill him, and they needed to do it by lawfare. Have you ever heard of lawfare, where people do wicked things, but they use the law to try to get you in jail or try to get you in trouble? And so these wicked men, Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, the leaders of the Jews, they used the Roman governor, and they pressured him to put Jesus to the death. Now, the great thing is, even though they were doing their shenanigans and their wickedness, God's in control. And God allowed it to happen because God planned for Jesus to die on the cross. And I'm so glad I got to see that hill. It looked like a skull when I went to Jerusalem. And there he died on that cross, and he paid, listen, for the sins of the world. And that was in God's plan. But when he was crucified, and even before he was crucified, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they remembered that he said that if you destroy this temple, in other words, if you kill me, after 3 days I'm going to rise again. I'm going to come back up from that grave. And because these leaders were really unbelievers, they didn't believe in the Messiah, they didn't believe really the Word of God, they had convinced themselves that they were just fighting mere men. They were fighting Jesus, and they were fighting his 12 disciples. And one of them was a traitor at that time. And so they felt like, all right, now we remembered he said he's going to rise from the dead. Obviously, he's not God. He's not all-powerful. And so his disciples are going to come and steal him away. And so they went again to Pilate, and they went to the governor, and they said, "Look, we need a band of soldiers to guard the grave, because he said after 3 days he's going to rise, and we don't want his disciples to come." So he said, "Go ahead, you have the soldiers." They said, "We want to put a legal seal on the tomb, so under the Roman government can say, this body is the Roman government, they own this body. And therefore, nobody's to mess with this grave. Nobody's to mess with this grave." You see, they thought they were fighting mere men. They didn't realize who they were fighting. And let me tell you today that if you don't know who you're dealing with when you come to a church like this, you're dealing with Jesus Christ, and you can't keep the God man down. You can't keep him down, and you can run, but you can't hide from Jesus. Can I say this to you? We try to run and hide from Jesus. I did that for quite a while. I tried to run and hide from Jesus. You can run, but you can't hide. Ultimately, you're going to come face to face with Jesus Christ. And so these men, they didn't believe what I'm saying, and they thought, "No, we're just fighting. He's a dead body. We killed him. We got him. Yes, we got him." but they didn't have them. They had them in the grave, but they didn't have them. And so they said, but we got to watch out because he might have his disciples come. And so Pilate said, okay, you've got your seal, you've got your soldiers. Make the tomb as sure as you can do it. And so these scribes, these Pharisees, these hypocrites, they did that, but they miscalculated. By the way, I think some people in America miscalculated the prayers of God's people for the presidential election. You can fight God's plan, but you cannot defeat God's plan. And these men were fighting the God-man, and you can't keep God's man down. And so if they were right, if these Pharisees were right, then getting the seal on the tomb by Roman law, getting a band of soldiers to guard the tomb from the superpower of that day, that would have been enough to keep Jesus Christ in the grave. But if they're wrong, and he really was God in the flesh and is God in the flesh, and therefore what he says in the Bible is true, if they were wrong, then nothing they could do could defeat what he said when he said, after 3 days, I'm going to rise from the dead. I'm saying this morning that Jesus Christ didn't need his 11 disciples to try to steal his body from the grave because Christ was not just a mere man. That would have been so that they could have kept him in the grave if he was a mere man. But they were not fighting a mere man. They were fighting the God-man. Otherwise, they're being given permission to literally murder him. Murder him would have stopped him in his movement. And I want you to look at Matthew 28. It says in verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, to see the sepulcher. So it was Sunday now. It was before dawn. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were coming to see his grave. And it says in the next verse, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now, some people might have think, and maybe you think, that this angel, when they had this great earthquake that God sent, and he rolled away that great stone, and he sat on it, that he had to do that so Jesus could come out of the grave. But let me tell you, Jesus had already come out of the grave. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm saying he got up out of that grave. He, first of all, got up out of those grave clothes, and he took them off, and he laid them aside. And he had a body that they could touch, but he also had a resurrection body, and a resurrection body can walk right through doors, can walk right through walls, and he could walk right through that stone. And so you say, well, why did the angel roll the stone away? Why was there a great earthquake? So that you would know. And I would know that he's not in the grave anymore. By the way, we don't have Jesus on a crucifix somewhere. He's not on the cross anymore. He finished the work for our salvation. And up from the grave he arose in a mighty triumph for his foes. He rose the victor from the dark domain. Jesus Christ lives forever with his saints to reign. I'm here to testify. I know he's alive. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, I've seen his hand of mercy. I see his voice and cheer. Just the time I need him, he's always near. I'm a witness to that fact. And these disciples were going to be witnesses to his resurrection. So the Lord rolled the stone away so they would know when they went there to the tomb, it was empty. He didn't need the stone rolled away to get up out of the grave and walk up out of there because you're dealing with the God-man. Praise the Lord for that. And so he walked out of that tomb. And what a great thing that was when he walked out of that tomb. And he didn't need the disciples to steal his body away. And so I want to say to you this morning that you can't keep God's man down. You can't keep a good man down. And so I remember going to lead in prayer at the Trump rally. And before I led in prayer, I made some comments to the rally there in Wilkes-Barre. And one of the things I said, Donald Trump when he was in Butler, Pennsylvania, a marksman shot at him with an AK rifle, and Donald Trump turned his head to look at a chart, and instead of it hitting him in the head, it hit him in the ear, and blood went everywhere, and Donald Trump went down on the platform. And I said, when he was down on that platform, he didn't stay down, he got back up, and he shouted out, "Fight, fight, fight." But I said, my Savior, the God-man, did something better than Donald Trump did. I said, when he was on that cross, he not only got hurt, he got killed. He died. He not only went on the ground, he went under the ground in a tomb for 3 days and three nights. But he came up out of that tomb, and he never died again. And he's telling you, go, go, go for me. I'm saying to you this morning, he did one better than the president did, and that is my testimony. I am saying to you that since I am saved, I can say personally, Jesus Christ is alive. Hey, I have a $1 bill. George Washington is on it. I have a $5 bill. Abraham Lincoln is on it. I have a $20 bill somewhere, and Thomas Jefferson is on it. And if I look hard enough, I can find a $100 bill and find Ben Franklin on it. These men all live, they're historical people, but I don't have a personal relationship with Ben or with these guys. Just Ben Bajeski, but not Ben Franklin. But I do have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He's not just a historical figure, he's my personal Lord and Savior. I know him. I've believed upon him as the risen Christ who conquered death. He's given me eternal life. I have that testimony. And that is what we're talking about this morning. You can't keep God's man down. Jesus Christ, our Lord. So why don't you just accept him as your personal Savior? Why don't you just put your eyes on him and see his promises true? That he said, I am come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly. And I want to tell you, he gives eternal life and he gives a more abundant life. I wouldn't trade what I had when I had dead religion. I wouldn't trade what I had when I had my own dead religion for the living Christ. I thank God for the living Christ. Now, let me say something to you. Each of these 12 apostles, and Paul replaced Judas Iscariot, I want to say to you that they all saw and were firsthand witnesses that that tomb was empty, that he rose from the dead. And they talked with him. He talked with them for 40 days after he rose from the dead. For 3 years, over 3 years, he appeared to the Apostle Paul after he rose from the dead. And these men knew that he was alive, and it affected their lives. And you say, what was happening as a result of that? Well, Andrew, Peter's brother, he was crucified. He was crucified. Bartholomew, the disciple, was beaten first. And that didn't kill him, so they crucified him. James the Less, or James the son of Alphaeus, was stoned to death until he died. James the son of Zebedee, the brother of John, was beheaded. John was boiled in oil and miraculously saved. Then he was put in jail in Patmos for his witness. And then, after all of that, he was allowed to die of old age, the only one of the 12. Judas, not Iscariot, he was stoned to death. Matthew, the disciple that we're reading from his book, was speared to death. Peter was crucified, but crucified upside down, just before his wife was crucified. And Philip was crucified as well. Philip, remember him, he was crucified. Simon was crucified. Simon Zelotes was crucified as well. And Thomas, we call him Doubting Thomas, but he was speared to death. He had no doubt that Jesus was risen. Paul, the last of the apostles, was beheaded in Rome by Caesar Nero. And none of these men stopped declaring that they were eyewitnesses of the real resurrection. I want to say this is one of the most powerful proofs of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if you knew that you were lying, you don't go through with that stuff. But they did. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying you cannot keep a good man down. You cannot keep God's man down. Jesus Christ is alive. Deal with it this morning. Jesus Christ is real. Deal with it this morning. I am one of his witnesses. Not that I've seen him physically, but I've seen him spiritually in the Word. Put my faith in him. And I've been born again and am born again this morning. And even though the world killed 11 of these 12 witnesses, you cannot keep the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ down. It is and will continue to be the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now you say, I don't believe, Pastor. I don't believe that he died on that cross. I don't believe he was buried and that he rose again. I don't believe that he forgives sin and gives eternal life. I don't believe one day you'll see him and meet him in the air. Well, you might not believe in electricity, but if I tell you to stick your hand in a 220 outlet, you're going to find out very soon when your hair stands up that it is real. Even though you can't see it, electricity is real. I'm saying Jesus Christ is real. You may not be able to see him, but he's real. And he wants you to know that this morning. And he's chosen the foolishness of a man preaching the Word of God to let you know that you need to be saved by Jesus Christ. And if you have been saved, you ought not to be afraid to be dipped in water and be baptized. Baptism is like a wedding ring. I wear a wedding ring because I'm not ashamed to say I'm married to my lovely wife. If I took my wedding ring off every time I was out in public, I'd be something wrong with me. Amen. And if you've been saved, after you get saved, you need to get baptized. Wearing a wedding ring when you're a little kid and you're not married doesn't mean anything. It means something once you get married. Baptism symbolizes your sins have been washed away by Jesus. Don't be ashamed to get baptized. Has Jesus washed your sins away? Well, then step up to the plate and own him and declare his name. And these men did that, my friend, and God wants us to do that. And so the Bible says when they began to do that in Jerusalem, you see, they had the power of his Holy Spirit. He went back up into heaven. He sent his Holy Spirit. And they had the power of the Holy Spirit to say, this Jesus that you guys crucified, he's alive. But he'll still forgive your sins. He'll take care of, just like Joseph, the Jewish people threw him in a pit, but he came back again. You couldn't keep that good man down. Now he ruled Egypt. Now he's giving them food when they were starving. And now he's revealing himself to him. And he's saying, I forgive you. I don't hold it against you. And Jesus was saying through the apostles to the Jewish people, you foolish people crucified me, but I forgive you if you'll accept me. And by the way, he'll do that for you. If you'll but accept him as your personal Savior, even though you've sinned, he'll forgive your sin and give you eternal life. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You can't keep that good man down. And this is good news I'm giving us today. It's good news. And when the Jewish disciples began to tell the people that in Jerusalem, when they began to tell them that, Kevin, in Jerusalem, guess what? The people in Jerusalem, they had murdered him, and some of them didn't like what they were saying. And so they said, we're going to tell you right now, do not speak anymore in this name of Jesus. Do not anymore say that we murdered him and that he's back alive from the dead. We don't want this to spread anymore. You better stop it. We're threatening you and telling you we have the power of law. And Peter stood up and he said, whether it's right or not, he said, God will determine that, but we cannot help but speak the things that we've seen and heard. We've seen the resurrection. My friend, this world is not what it used to be to us. By the way, before I got saved, this world was everything. But now that I've gotten saved, what will it profit if I get this whole world? It's nothing compared to what I have, beloved. I'm serving Jesus. I'm living for him. And that's what Peter said, we're going to do. We're going to speak The things we've seen and heard, you can threaten us, you can do what you want to us, we're going to have to speak the truth in love. And he did that. And a guy stood up, and his name was Gamaliel. He taught the Apostle Paul. He was a Jewish teacher. He wasn't saved, but he was a wise man. You know what he said to those people? He said, look, he said, be careful what you do to these men, because it could be you're fighting against God here. And if you're fighting against God, you're not going to be able to overthrow it. You can't overthrow God's flow, in other words. And let me say to you today, are you fighting against God? Are you fighting against what you know is true? And you know that you need to surrender to faith in Jesus Christ. And you need to declare Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is God in the flesh, and receive the forgiveness of your sins, and come and get baptized in his name, and show forth your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, why should I do that? Because you can't keep that good man down. You see, you can walk out. You can say no. You can say, I'm not going to accept him. But one day, my friend, he's going to call your number. One day, my friend, you're going to leave this world. One day, my friend, you're going to be called to his judgment throne. That's right. And I'll tell you who's on that great white throne. Right. It's not God the Father. Right. It's not God the Holy Spirit. It's the one called Jesus. He's got wounds in his hands. He's got holes in his feet. He's got a big hole in his side. He's the one that was raised from the dead. He's going to stand there before you, and you're going to have to acknowledge, I tried to keep him down and away from my life. I tried to live in my fornication. I tried to live in my drugs. I tried to live in my pursuit of jobs and money. I tried to live in my pursuit of something else. I tried to go away from Jesus, but I can't run away from him. I can't keep him down. Here I am standing before him. And then all the proof will be shown of your sin and your opportunities to accept him and receive him. And your refusals will become clear. And then, unfortunately, he will have to summon an angel or angels and cast you into a huge lake of fire. And you'll never get out of there. You'll be away from God and away from the blessings of God. You say, why, Pastor? Because you can't keep this good man down. Don't have Jesus Christ derangement syndrome. There are many people that unfortunately have Jesus Christ derangement syndrome. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about when they hit their finger with a hammer, they don't say, oh, Buddha, oh, Allah. They say, Jesus Christ. Because even in their cursing, they know who God is. They know he's the God-man. He's the only one with the empty grave. None of these people have an empty tomb. I was there 2016, saw the garden tomb. It was empty. You cannot keep a good man down. You know, it's amazing to me how wicked people will fight against the truth, even when it comes to things of this world. I was listening to the radio, to the news on Thursday, and I heard federal marshals coming into the studios of Alex Jones. And while he was in there, he said, federal marshals have come in. He said, they've sued me, I think it's for $1.5 billion, something like that, for free speech stuff. They disagreed with what he said, and that's fine, and not everybody says everything right, free speech. But they said, because of that, we're suing you for over $1 billion, and even though you don't have that money. But our real purpose, they said, is not to get your money. They've said this right outward, and it's been recorded, that they are doing this so they can take his license, so they can shut down his free speech, so that they don't want him talking anymore. And they're saying he's giving disinformation. Doesn't that remind you what the Pharisees said? What the Sadducees said? We don't want you to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. I'm so glad we got a First Amendment in America, that we have freedom of speech and freedom to share the gospel. I'm so glad in this election that this leftist demon rat cult secular humanistic cult, Marxist cult. I'm so glad that they were sent a resounding rebuke from the American people, too big to rig, that said there's going to be a new birth of freedom. We're going to stay with the First Amendment. And they shut Alex Jones' servers off. They shut his IT off. His broadcast stopped. I'm a baby boomer, so I'm not good. I'm trying to find him. He said he's going to move and go somewhere else. I'm trying to find him. I can't find him. I said, oh, God, help this man and help me. I said, they shut down a man's free speech. And then I found out they had an auction, and at that auction, there was supposed to be, the judge had said, we're going to have an auction, but we have to lay the ground rules. Well, they didn't wait. I'm talking about the Justice Department. They're connected to this. I'm talking about Demerit Garland. I call him Demerit Garland. And his Justice Department, that guy needs to be tried. And so they took his Justice Department, and they were colluding and getting involved in this. And they got Alex Jones and shut his IT off. But the judge, Judge Lopez, had not said you could do this yet. He said there needs to be an auction. And an auction in Webster's Dictionary is an open bid and the highest bidder wins. Guess what? They didn't have an open auction. They changed it and said we're having a closed auction. And the bidder was not the highest bidder. The bidder was somebody chosen by them. And who was the bidder? He bid no money, zero. He said, I'll give you money later, but it wasn't. They chose him because he was the one they wanted. They wanted the Onion. The Onion is a group of people that make fun of people, and they wanted to make fun of Alex Jones and take his name, and so they planned to do that. Well, when they did that and they shut Alex Jones down at InfoWars, the judge heard about it. Elon Musk was angry. He had sent lawyers there. Donald Trump got angry and stood up and said, when I am in the office, we're going to stop this collusion of government persecuting free speech. And I heard what he said. This is bigger than one man. This affects you. This affects me. And this allows us to continue to preach about Jesus Christ with freedom. You say, Pastor, why is this happening? You can't keep the God man down. You can't keep down God's man and God's good men that have God's good news. And so what you need to do is take advantage of the blessing of Almighty God. Take advantage of the new birth of freedom that you've been given in this country, and continue to pray for it to go through. And you take advantage while you have opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and serve Him, because you can't keep a good man down. I am just saying that his disciples, you couldn't keep them down. After he died and was buried and rose again and went back into heaven, not one of them would stop declaring the resurrection. And listen, if they did that and they gave their blood, if Jesus Christ gave his blood to offer you a free gift of eternal life and you refuse it, the Bible says this to you this morning. How shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? You'll see the blood. It'll be there in heaven. The blood is still up there. The blood that Jesus shed, he brought it up there. It will testify against you. His wounds will testify against you. You refuse the greatest gift that's ever been offered. And so, how shall you escape if you neglect salvation? Just remember this. You can't keep a good man down, and you can't keep down the good news. So accept it. Yes. Don't have Jesus Christ derangement syndrome. Receive him and live for him, and you will be glad you did. I'm going to ask that everybody bow for prayer, every head bowed. And I'm going to ask this